present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Smith and the Drive Guys will be out at Mountain View Chevy today. So if you are in the Chattanooga area, stop by and see them. They will not be in the Mountain View Chevy Studios. They will be at Mountain View Chevy. John Reed, Ben Lee, Cody McClure. I'm doing good. How are you guys? Ben's give the thumbs up. Cody?
Doing fine. It's good to be here and good to be anywhere.
It's that time of the year for me.
Hey, you sound terrible.
Thank you. I was a little self-conscious about it, but thank you for making me feel better about it.
No.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
What are you, is it all nasally or is it the throat or what are you dealing with here?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah, just allergy / sinus.
But I'm not having any issues yet. Hopefully you can power through, though.
I'm working on it. But thanks for making me feel better about it. I appreciate it.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Gonna need a big performance from you today. Till I get some Allegra.
Oh, I'll ball out.
That's what ballers do.
I'll be like LeBron James matching Michael Jordan's when double-digit, what was it he matched? 800.
You were doing so well.
Double-digit scoring effort, 886 games. There we go.
I think it's 866.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Consecutive, though. It's pretty good.
Yes.
That is pretty good.
It's not the story of the day, though.
Do you see the graphic of, like, the numbers side-by-side, though?
No, I haven't seen any graphics.
Jordan, a much better scorer than LeBron. No surprise there. During their double-digit scoring streaks, Jordan's averaging 4.3 more points per game. LeBron won three more games with his team. Congrats to LeBron.
More of a team player.
20-point games in that effort. You know, double-digit just means, obviously, you get to 10. How many of the 866 of those were 20-point games? Jordan had 788, LeBron 736. 30-point games, Jordan had 510, LeBron 326. And this stat right here blows my mind. Of the 866 straight games in double figures, LeBron James had 44 of them out of 866. How many do you think Jordan would have?
What was that now? LeBron had 44.
44 40-point games out of the 866.
How many did Jordan have? I'm going to say 202.
Why are you the way that you are?
Did I do it again?
I mean, you overshot it, so now it's not going to sound cool. I mean, you weren't that close, so you can't even, like, feel like you got close.
Oh, okay, so it was like 164.
That was closer, 159.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never mind.
Well, no, that's still really impressive, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of 40-point games.
Yeah. Not as many as 202, but sure.
No, but 159 is a high number. Way more than LeBron.
Uh-huh. I mean, no one ever doubted who the better scorer was. No one's ever doubted that. No one argues that. Some people argue, who the better player is, but not the better scorer. You said that's not the story of the day. So what is the story of the day? I think there's an answer here. I don't think you're going to give it to me.
No, probably not.
And I don't think it's very interesting anyways, but it probably is the story of the day.
What are you thinking?
Well, you go first.
It's not going to be what you think.
I just literally just said that.
The city of Knoxville has repealed what some may call an old-fashioned law. According to Jesse Mayshark with the city, there was a rule on the books placing a restriction on drinking and dancing in the same establishment.
Say that one more time.
The drinking and dancing ordinance. Most people didn't even know this existed. I saw it surface last night. There was a rule, an old rule here in Knoxville, an old law, that placed a restriction on drinking and dancing in the same establishment. That has now been repealed.
So the law said if you were drinking somewhere, you couldn't also dance?
Right. It was an old-time ordinance.
It's like Footloose.
That developed, yeah, exactly.
Except they wouldn't let you even dance. I mean,
right.
I don't know about their drinking policy, but.
Well, that was part of the thing. Like, Knoxville was called, like, the Footloose City, apparently. It dates back to the 1960s. The law read, no beer shall be sold on or consumed on premises upon any part of which dancing is allowed. Unless the drinking and dancing areas were separated by a physical barrier. No one really abided by this anyway.
Is that why, you've been to the Cotton Eye Joe, is that why they have a rail that goes across the dance floor, goes around the dance floor?
Ah, perhaps. Perhaps when it was built they had to do it that way.
What are some other dance places in Knoxville?
Oh, you got, like, what, Hannah's, I guess?
Does it have any type of barrier?
I'm just trying to think, like, back in that time, drinking age was probably 18, probably tried to make it to where you couldn't have alcohol inside high school dances.
Oh, that's silly.
When did the drinking age become 21?
My dad...
1984.
Okay.
I was going to say 79.
1984.
I was going to say, my dad tells me stories about when he was in high school, so, like, obviously he was 18 when he was drinking.
And that would be what years?
I was gonna say. Well, he had to obviously be like. Yeah. I was gonna say like he's old.
Oh, okay. Good job.
Probably past the 60s.
All right, cut your mic off, then. Just try. Yeah, you almost had a good start to the day, but then you didn't give me the age. You just said your dad was in high school. No one knows how old your dad is. I have no clue how old your dad is.
I was gonna get there, but then you were like 1984, and I didn't have anywhere else to go with that. Okay. And I was done working my way through the.
I got you. I understand. It happens.
These laws were common in the United States and were a result of the repeal of Prohibition in the 1930s. It's amazing that the one in Knoxville's lasted this long.
I mean, obviously, no one enforces it.
No. No, it's not enforced. But they went ahead and repealed it. So they kind of brought it back to the surface.
I mean, it's like every year some state gets rid of some rule that, like, is it necessary?
Like these outdated ordinances and stuff?
Yeah, and then it makes headlines and it's kind of cool. It's cool to see Knoxville, I guess, on one.
Especially for something like that because you made the Footloose connection. Like that's what everybody was talking about, you know.
Have you ever seen Footloose?
It's called the Footloose City.
Have you ever seen Footloose?
I've seen parts of it.
Seems like a really dumb movie.
Yeah.
I watched it. I was just kind of like, the 80s, like all these movies and all these movies from the 80s that are supposed to be like classics, like to me, very few of them hold up to like where they're supposed to be, I guess to where people hold them in their high regard. Very few hold up. Like Breakfast Club, that's what people call a classic. You know what? I feel like it kind of holds up. That one, like from the 80s, you could go watch and say, you know what? Still a good movie.
Do most things in general from the 80s hold up? I mean... The movie sucked. The music sucked as a whole. The clothing sucked. I mean, I don't know what really holds up from the 80s.
I mean,
cars, were they any good cars?
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Magic Johnson holds up pretty well.
I guess.
Well, ask me like his basketball legacy, not the
not
other
the
stuff.
The other thing.
The basketball legacy holds up.
I was going to say, because that's kind of a...
Yeah.
Know, issue.
But he's holding up fine, too. He's old enough. You know,
I was always terrified of AIDS growing up because I had these teachers, like these health teachers.
I think that's a common fear.
Well, no,
I think everyone was a little.
But look
worried.
How long magic has made it. Like, I had these health teachers; they would just scare us,
yeah,
into thinking like, uh-huh, if you get it, you're dead, basically. And they've done these scientists and medical people. They've really done a lot for AIDS, I think, because magic. I mean, he's been kind of the poster boy for AIDS, but he's made it. I mean. What is he now? He's in his 70s, I mean, right?
I don't think he's 70.
No, he's probably not. He's like 60, maybe.
I mean, I was going to say, is he even...
He's 58. He's 58. 70s was a little much. Okay, so he's 58.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you talk... I mean, if you like see like his regimen every day, like he has to stay pretty damn on schedule with like what he eats and like how much he exercises and how much he sleeps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously helps to have a lot of money.
Right. How do you combat AIDS these days? I mean,
it's like I said, if you like just Google his daily routine of like rest and exercise and diets and what he eats, like it's pretty vigorous.
There's still no cure. But a strict adherence to antiretroviral therapy can dramatically slow the disease's progress and prevent secondary infections and complications and prolong life.
You think Back to the Future holds up? That one holds up as well, probably, right? The Breakfast Club.
Except for the part where they go into the future and all of the future is wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie, still.
I'd say Ferris Bueller holds up. Ghostbusters, no. I don't think so. Whenever I tried to watch it, I fell asleep. I was like, okay, this is stupid.
Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you've heard the song before. Well, it's good to hear that Knoxville is going to allow us to drink and dance together now. That'll be good.
I don't like dancing.
No?
No.
Never?
I'm just not any good at it.
Was that why you don't like it?
Yes.
So if you were good at it, you'd probably like it?
Perhaps.
You could practice.
Nah. I'm good.
Okay.
What was your story of the day?
Oh, baseball starts today.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably the story of the day. I knew you weren't going to pick it, but that's...
I guess.
I mean, it is opening day.
I watched a game the other day, the Red Sox and the Cubs.
Yeah?
The preseason or spring training, whatever that whole thing.
Okay.
That was, you know, it was okay to watch, I guess.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I didn't hate it.
Are you going to watch baseball this year? Tell me next after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. Big news here on the station, on the show. Cody McClure has changed his @ on Twitter. He has dropped the CFB. New development. He is now single white femaling me, and he's gone Cody 2 underscores McClure. We're the 2 underscore gang.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to feel about this. Cody.
I wanted to just be at Cody McClure. My name. Unfortunately, there's a 12-year-old in Harwich, Massachusetts who has that username. He has not tweeted in 8 years. So now I guess he's 20. He has not tweeted since 2010. He has no profile pic and one tweet. What does the one tweet say?
I am watching a maddle.
Well, how about that?
EMADLE. What's that, Bentley?
I don't know, but it was something that was on the air 8 years ago. So I'm trying to get his username, but until then, I got to go with the 2 underscores like you, because I didn't have even a single underscore available for my name.
Ben Lee's protesting me, telling him to turn the mic off, because when I asked him what a mattel was, he just shrugged his shoulders at me. Didn't go to the computer to start Googling. I don't know.
He's just mad at you.
Yeah, he's mad. I'm sorry. Ben Lee's dad. I didn't know how old you were. I apologize. Okay, Ben, I'm sorry for interrupting your story about your father.
Ben holds grudges.
I asked him what a mattel is. Google it your damn self is what that shoulder shrug said.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Since
buddy.
I wanted to Google when the drinking age became 21, I guess I'm just Mr. Google now.
I'll be Mr. Google.
I looked up a mattel and nothing's really coming up.
Yeah, it's been 8 years since whatever it was on the air. Or the dumb kid who was 12 years old just couldn't spell. And now he's 20 and he's probably still an idiot.
His bio, I am 12 years old, and I live in Hawich. I go to the Hawich school.
Well, good for you.
That is frustrating. I have two nemesises as well.
Yeah.
Is nemesis is the plural of nemesis?
Nemesis.
Yeah, nemesis.
Nemesi?
Nemesis.
Nemesises.
Nemesis.
Nemesis?
Nemesis.
I have two nemesis myself. John Reed, and then John Reed _. But they're at least both active.
Yes.
And sometimes I tweet them, trying to ask them if I can have their at, and they just don't respond.
Probably for the best. They're like, who is this crazy
One
man?
Time they got mad at me for asking them. I was like, stop. And then I quit for a couple of years.
Stop tweeting at us.
Yeah.
Well, what is the other one? John Single _Reed?
Yeah. John Reed is a writer, publisher, digital mediast, founder of The Publishing Talk and Reed Media. Damn it.
He looks like a real loser.
He already beat me to Reed Media?
Oh, no. Is it an LLC?
I don't know.
Reed Media LLC? Of course he's a media guy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. Although he doesn't show up. I think he might have blocked me.
Probably so.
I think John one Reed blocked me.
He's had enough of you.
He's not showing up on my list anymore.
Well, maybe he released his username.
You think so?
It's possible. I don't know. Let me see if
I can find it. Comes up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blocked me.
Yeah, it does. Looks like you've been blocked.
Well, that's messed up.
This guy looks like a loser, too. Here's his bio. Lean, agile project manager at Springer Nature. London, geek, cat lover, science and technology fanatic, gamer, F1 fan.
Somehow I think the 12-year-old's cooler than him.
Yeah, even though he hasn't been active in 8 years. Who knows what has happened to that kid in the last 8 years? He was 12 when he fired off that one tweet and grabbed my username.
He got ahead of the game. He understood. He didn't get sucked in. He's like, you know what? Twitter's a place I don't need to be.
He's probably in prison by now.
Hopefully he is using the name Cody McClure proudly.
I go to the Harwich School and I am 12 years old.
Well, congratulations on joining the _ life. The double even.
Yeah, I just thought I got tired of the CFB thing. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
I made that username when I was I want to be a national college football expert.
That's true.
Writer.
And you barely even know anything about college football, so it's time just to kind of let that go.
Yeah. Probably so.
Yeah. I saw that you had changed because Doug Brooks had tweeted him mad that you have been bashing the 80s. Very, very sad that you would bash the 80s like that. You always bash the 80s.
The 80s sucked.
You know, as I started looking through the 80s list of movies, I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe this was a bad take of mine.
In fairness, I don't remember the 80s. But just based on, what we've been told, the popular media, looks like they sucked. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with the music, and it was no good. Hair bands, did we forget about that period of history in our world?
Stand By Me, great movie. That one holds up.
We're not gonna take it. I mean, come on. The hair bands in the 80s were really ridiculous.
I feel like I could have been a hair band rocker.
Come on, feel the noise.
I see the look you're giving me, Ben Lee.
Girls, rock your boys.
Do you have to have hair? Like, were all those guys natural? Do you think there were any of them that were faking it with wigs?
There's probably some wigs.
Or do you think that, like, they're all natural? Because obviously, if they're all natural, I would be in trouble. My larger point was, when you watch those guys, they're basically just screaming. They're like, very few of them have, like, any
vocal ability.
Any vocal skill. Like, I feel like I could be an entertainer.
Yeah. Can't stop my heart, man. Never stop.
Yeah, I could do that and dance around. Like, I feel like I could do that. Could have been a sex symbol in the 80s.
When I see you, that's what I think. Sex symbol. In the 80s.
Any interest in opening day baseball today?
I wish I could say yes, but I'd be lying to our audience.
What about you, Ben Lee? Do you watch baseball?
Not on TV. I'll go to a game and watch, but I'm not going to sit and watch the Braves at home.
I'd be happy to give it a shot. Who are the Dodgers playing today? Are they in action? How does opening day work? Do all the teams play?
Well, it's changed over the years. For a while, it was just the Reds. The Reds would be the first game of the year. Then they switched it where they were doing opening night games on Sunday nights, and everybody in Cincinnati got mad. And then they started doing it where they would do the whole week early, like in Japan. But this year, everyone's playing today except the Reds and the Reds and Nationals, who had to postpone their game due to weather.
Also, Pittsburgh and Detroit postponed their game, apparently.
Okay.
Not sure why. I guess weather.
Probably weather. I mean, if I'm guessing, I'd say weather.
Yeah. I mean, or, you know, bomb threat could be.
I'd say weather.
You never know.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll feel comfortable out here on this limb. I'll say weather.
You say that as if there's no other reason to postpone a game.
I didn't say that. I just said I feel comfortable going out on the limb of saying it's because of weather. Your Dodgers are playing big rivals today, the Giants.
Oh, yeah. Great West Coast game.
Big-time rivalry. You know, it started in New York, right?
The Brooklyn Dodgers and the...
Were the Giants in New York?
Were the Giants? Were they?
I feel like they were.
The New York Giants, I mean, football, you know?
Yeah, they were. That's why they call him the New York football giant.
When I was a kid, I always got the Arizona Cardinals and the St. Louis Cardinals confused. I was like, is there a football team here too? What's the deal? But then you had the Rams, and so I could see where that would be an issue.
No, yeah. I'm pretty confident in this.
The Giants?
Yeah.
The Giants?
Yeah, the Giants and Dodgers, the rivalry goes back to New York. I'm fairly confident in this.
Luckily, trusted sidekick Ben Lee is Googling.
Originally known as the New York Gothams and then the New York Giants, the team moved to San Francisco in 1958.
Okay.
There you go.
I got a little nervous when I said that. But that was like, no, these guys are big rivals. I know. I'm comfortable out there. That makes me the official baseball expert of Talk Sports.
I mean, I knew the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that the San Francisco Giants originated there.
First game, first pitch today will be the Chicago Cubs taking on the Miami Marlins.
I'm pumped for that one. John Lester versus Jose Urena pitching matchup.
Does it get much better than that?
No, it really doesn't.
I actually am really curious to see what that turnout is. Like, well, Miami's been the Marlins have been gutted. Like they're you know, rebelling against the ownership. The owner, you know, Derek Jeter comes in, immediately fires everybody, you know, that's been involved with the franchise for the most part. They trade Giancarlo Stanton for pretty much nothing. Get rid of their best player, the face of the franchise, a Latin player in a Latin community.
Well, tickets are available for as low as $6, so I'm sure it's
that's not
gonna be a real thriller.
I'm going to go out and say that has to be the lowest, right, of all the opening day. I'm sure there's a couple other low ones, but that has to be the lowest on opening day, right?
Atlanta and Philadelphia, $6.
Where's that game at?
Atlanta. So the Phillies play the Braves today.
I mean, Atlanta also stinks. I mean, if you're a Braves fan, which I would assume the majority of people still listening to this baseball segment are probably Braves fans.
Got Cardinals-Mets today.
What are those ticket prices?
As low as $68.
Yeah, see, that one, see, they got a little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
Like, opening day is one of the few games that, like, people get excited for. That's a tougher ticket to get into. Usually you could almost, I don't want to say guarantee a sellout, but you could guarantee a good crowd. But Atlanta, their fans are looking around saying, nope, we're going to stink again. Their best prospect, they're keeping him in the minors. That way they get another year of service out of him, which is the smart thing to do. That's the smart thing to do.
Let's see. Red Sox, Tampa Bay. You can see the Yankees play in Toronto for $26. The Angels playing at the A's.
I'd imagine the Braves would have maybe sold more tickets if they would have brought Acuna up. Is that how you say his name? Ronald Acuna?
Yeah, it's Acuna.
Yeah. I don't feel like you really know, but I'll go with it. Like, I know that's like been a big debate among Braves fans is like, why, you know, bring the kid up, try to sell tickets. The smart thing to do as a franchise is to keep him down. And if you let him stay down there for a certain amount of time, you could bring him up without losing a year of control of him. That's a smart business thing to do. And with the way the Braves have gotten punished for their international signing scandal, where they were doing illegal things overseas, and like, I don't even know if it was overseas. I guess it would be down in the Dominican. And is that overseas? That's like down the sea, right? Down the sea?
Well, over the Caribbean.
Yeah, over
the Caribbean.
That's a sea.
Okay. That's not the sea that usually people talk about when they say overseas.
Not the pond.
Yeah, why do they say over the sea, overseas? It's just over the pond.
The Atlantic is a pond.
Or the ocean. Over the ocean.
It's basically a big pond.
Okay. That was a good baseball segment.
Yeah.
Opening day today.
I'm pumped.
Yeah. Okay. Tweet in or call in with any baseball storylines you'd like to talk about, because other than the Yankees getting the first look at this new lineup.
I mean, clearly the game of the day here is the Giants and Dodgers. I mean, to get into that game, you got to pay $103. Lowest tickets, $103.
People want to see Kershaw. People want to see Kershaw.
Yep.
That's surprising. That's the most – I mean, I guess it's L.A., so everything's just more expensive, but Giants, I guess that's a rivalry. You just see the ace. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets game's the second most expensive. Mets and Cardinals.
Yeah. All right, good baseball segment. All right, we'll be back on the other side.
Life can –
Cody, I always get on to you guys for the voice. My voice is struggling today. Sorry to cough into the mic. I should have done that off air. I was trying. My voice is giving out on me.
You look rough.
I'm not injured. I'm just hurt.
I got to be honest. You look rough. I see it in your eyes. I can see the pain in your eyes.
I don't feel good, guys. I'm powering it through. I'm powering through for you. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I can fight through injury.
I'm ready to go.
It's rough. Instead of making fun, you could pick up some slack.
What do you want me to do? I got stories abound. I got everything right here. You always give me hell for my prep. I got prep all over the place. I got story here, story there, story there, story there. I got so many stories.
All right, we'll make a decision here.
You want to talk some Tennessee football?
No, I feel like that's a crutch.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like the idea of that crutch, like, 30 minutes into the show. We're out of things to talk about. Okay, let's just talk about Tennessee football.
How's Tennessee football a crutch? I thought this column, interesting column, I don't know. And then there's this other thing about Pruitt getting mad because he's trying to get used to offense. He's not used to, like, rooting for his offense.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I thought you had a plethora of stories. I was going to say,
I do. I got things. You want to go more baseball?
I was going to say we have some tweets about baseball. I didn't know if you wanted to address the tweets about baseball and put a bow on this. There's a cringeworthy column. I think it's cringeworthy. Some people might agree with it. That we could dive into that Clay Travis just posted from a someone running for office who's writing about why running for governor in Tennessee this fall. Republican Diane Black writes on Outkick the Coverage that she's giving up her Titans season tickets as a result of the national anthem protests.
Oh, she's something. Every time I see her come on the TV on these commercials, I got to turn away. So isn't she the one that said you should stand up in your living room when the anthem comes on?
Does anybody do that?
No. Nobody in the world does that.
Do you ever feel guilty when you're not standing up?
No.
Every time that I hear the national anthem while I'm sitting on my couch, I think about it. I think about how weird it is that, like, everyone sits down, like, just keeps laying on their couches.
No, the whole purpose of the whole thing is to stand up because everyone else is standing up. Like, if you're at a sporting event and everybody else stands up, you got to stand up, too. That's just part of it. You know, it's a tradition. You honor the flag. You do all that. If you're sitting alone in your living room, nobody's standing up in their living room.
I didn't know that we still called Congress women congressmen.
I didn't either.
It says by Congressman Diane Black.
She kind of looks like a man.
Well, that's not nice.
Maybe not.
She writes, when the National Football League's Oilers move from Houston to Nashville. First of all, they moved from Houston to Memphis, but okay. Diane, you're already kind of proving yourself to be a phony. My husband Dave and I were first in line for season tickets. Okay, Diane. Sports have always been an important part of our lives, and having an NFL team in our city was a dream come true. We love going to Titans games. Spending Sunday afternoons with family and fellow Tennesseans. That's why I was so disappointed to see the NFL and its players disrespect our flag and our anthem during this last season. When Dave and I first saw these protests, we made a decision. We decided that our season tickets would remain in a drawer all season and our seats would remain empty. We didn't attend or watch a single game. Every American has the right to protest and to avail themselves of the right to free speech outlined in the First Amendment, but just because we have the right to do something doesn't mean we should. Every time I stand, put my hand on my heart, and join thousands of my fellow citizens in the singing of our national anthem, I get choked up, she writes. She thinks about her husband, Dave.
I bet she does.
She thinks about her husband, Dave, who served in the Marines and fought in Vietnam, her father, who fought in World War II, and her son, Steve, who served in the Persian Gulf War.
And most importantly, getting elected.
Supporters of these protests claim that those kneeling are not protesting the flag or the anthem or the troops, but rather are protesting the treatment of minorities by our law enforcement. Let's address that briefly. If the protests aren't about the flag, the anthem, or the troops, then why are they occurring during the singing of the national anthem? The quarterback who instigated these protests, Colin Kaepernick, was candid in his intent. He said, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for our country that oppresses black people and people of color. His protest was of the flag itself because he believes that the flag represents oppression. I reject that. The flag represents the freedom we have in this country. Second, there have certainly been incidents of improper actions in law enforcement, but these situations do not justify the generic demonization of hardworking, dedicated police officers across the country. These are the people worth honoring, not insulting, and that's the message the American people sent to the NFL this fall. Television ratings for the league were down almost 10% over last season, and stadiums around the country sat half emptied even during the playoffs.
Well, that's not the first time that's happened.
I personally was at two playoff games. both of them packed to the brim.
Kansas City and New England, I would imagine.
Like both of those were packed to the brim. I don't know what playoff games were half empty. Maybe I missed some because
That Jacksonville Buffalo game.
No, I think they were so excited.
Was it pretty packed?
They sold out like almost immediately because they were so excited to be back in the playoffs and to win the division.
Well, yeah, I know when they had played Seattle, they had a really good crowd.
Maybe Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Maybe the Rams versus Falcons didn't bring people out. I don't know. For now, my family has decided we'll spend Sunday afternoons fishing instead of attending Titans games. And that will continue until the NFL and its players show due respect for the star-spangled banner that waves for the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are sending a package to the Titans to let them know, along with a letter explaining why we won't renew our tickets. We will send them back the unused tickets from last season. If you agree and want to support our troops and police, we hope you will find your own way to make your voice heard with us. The people who defend us deserve our thanks. You think this is a ploy to try to earn favor?
Well, she's a right-wing lady, you know, and that's fine. But she's going to cater to her voting crowd, you know. She's going to cater to the Republicans, and that's fine. But, yeah, she's just trying to get elected. She's just like all these other – every time she comes on the TV, I want to turn it. These politicians, they're all the same. They're just cut differently one way or another. They're all the same. They all want the same thing, and that is to be elected and make money for essentially not doing much other than protecting the interests of, you know, the corporate businesses.
I mean, the more I think about it, like, being in politics would be pretty nice.
You don't do anything.
Did you see where Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, like, where he's, you know, gearing up to run?
I'm sure.
In 2020 I think it's a Senate seat.
Yeah, that guy, I mean, he's big time up there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he'll probably get elected.
There was a big piece about it over the weekend that I was reading. Basically, about how, like, he's going to run. He's a liberal. He's a Democrat. But he wants to go and try to take down Mitch McConnell, who's, you know, been elected, I think, going on 20-something years.
Yeah.
20 years. And he thinks, yes, I'm a liberal. We always kind of vote Republican, but I'm also someone who cares about Kentucky. Like, I'm from Kentucky. I'm from a coal city.
He's got a big voice up there, too.
And he's got a big voice. So, you know, some people say the most popular guy in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, like, he's prepping for a run at Congress. The more and more I think about it, like, it does seem like a pretty good gig. You just talk.
You go to these Congress that you get with everybody and you sit down and you vote or whatever, and you have the lobbyists come in and try to sway you one way or another, put some money in your pocket. Then you take a recess. You go home for 2 weeks, sit around. I mean, they don't do anything. Congress does nothing. What do they do? I mean, honestly, what do they do?
The whole...
I guess if they're trying to introduce, you know, new legislation or something, but... How many of them at one time are doing that?
I mean, when she puts this op-ed up on Clay Travis's website, she's obviously trying to kind of get part of Clay Travis's audience. And
so,
Clay, you know, Clay's been big. You hear him on the station right after we go off the air. Like, I mean, he's big on this type of on this type of issue as well. He agrees with her,
and he's also has all. You know, considered politics.
Yeah.
And he'll probably make a run for something at some point, too.
Yeah, I wonder if Matt Jones actually does it, if Clay Travis will kind of get pushed into it. John Monroe tweets in a point that I always kind of think of as well. Some people, you know, push back strongly on this idea, but he says there's no need to play the national anthem at every event in 2018. Play it at national events, the Super Bowl, the World Series, when a national team's playing, like the soccer team or hockey team.
Yeah.
No one cares if it's played when Ray County plays Cleveland. Yeah, it's weird to me when they play like a high school event.
The national anthem?
Yeah. Like, this is a new phenomenon. Like, this didn't happen until after 9/11, like, where where we started playing the national anthem before sporting events. Like, it's a, I want to say even since like 09. Like, it was a ploy by the NFL to kind of try to help raise military, like, recruitment.
It's kind of the same with the Pledge of Allegiance, in a way. You know, they make the kids every morning in school say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never really been a big fan of the idea.
Do we have to do that in high school?
The pledge?
I feel like we did.
I don't know. I don't feel like that's an anti-American thing to say either. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, some people get so offended by that. I'm not sure I understand why.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
I hate being the first guy to call in after you guys basically, you know, throw out every anti-patriot moniker there is. I'm not saying you are anti-patriot. You've unpacked a lot just now. The first thing I wanted to call about was your baseball segment. Guys, let's just move on from baseball. That was pretty rough. And as far as that's concerned, Cody.
Let's hear your baseball breakdown, Roberto. If you could do it better, let's hear your baseball breakdown. What do you want to talk about?
Baseball's awful. It has been for 3 decades.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I agree.
I thought you were saying it was awful that we didn't know anything about it. I was going to say, well, enlighten the audience, but go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm a Cubs fan, so when the Cubs are on, and every day, you know, I check up on them, but they're like, baseball's terrible. The game's just changed so much. It was getting nice when it was going back to, you know, manufacturing runs, and then they all went long ball again. And I know chicks dig the long ball, as they say, but that's not how baseball should be played. It's a pitcher's game. You know, it's the only game where defense starts with the ball, and I'll leave it at that. As far as this whole flag thing, look, I think I'm not a big Diane Black fan at all, even as a person who leans right. And I think she's completely pandering. So I actually agree with you guys on that. However, I don't agree that the national anthem should not be played before every sporting event. I'm just going to have to say I disagree with that. You said, John, did you say it's been only since 2009 they've done that? Did you mean in the NFL or across all sports?
I mean in the NFL where it happens before every Sunday.
I thought you meant across all sports.
Now, obviously, like, you know, Whitney Houston had the one before the Super Bowl after the, you know, during the Gulf War. Like, there have been other instances where it's happened, but it, like, in every game type of thing, that this is a, you know, a fairly new thing in the NFL.
In the NFL, maybe, but I would say across the board, the NFL was the exception to the rule for a long, long time.
Okay.
I hardly went to a single sporting event that I can remember where the national anthem, as long as I was in the United States, where the national anthem wasn't played. I mean, they've done it every – that's what George Fitz is famous for, and I'm blanking on the guy before him even, at the University of Tennessee, is the way they sang the national anthem. They do it at the Blackhawks hockey games. That guy's internationally famous as well, so I don't know if it's good that those people are famous, but they're famous for singing the national anthem before events. So I'm sorry, I thought you were saying it's just not been done at all in sports until 2009, which I was going to take stance against. But
yeah.
But nonetheless, I don't think it's bad, and if you don't want to stand, that's your business. Cody, I encourage you to do this at your own home. I don't stand up for the national anthem when I'm at home. I think that's kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I disagree that you're standing because everybody else is at games. Okay? We're gonna have to disagree there.
I mean, if you're one of these people that doesn't want to stand, you're probably going to stand anyway because everybody else is standing.
I disagree with that.
No, I mean, in public, I feel like there's a lot of public pressure to do that.
No, I disagree. I think it's the opposite now. There's more public pressure to not stand and to take a knee than there is the opposite.
That's just
Cody.
That's not true.
You're wrong.
No,
it's cooler to take a knee. It's cooler to take a knee in today's society than it is.
Okay, so is that why when you go to a football game or you go to a NASCAR race or whatever and you're in the audience, I don't see a lot of people on a knee or sitting down. I mean, everybody's standing.
I think that's a byproduct of your core market, Cody.
Okay, well, go to one in a different city. I don't know. Do you go to a lot of games in other I mean, I feel like every game I've ever been to, people are standing for the national anthem.
And Roberto, just to clear up, it was 2009 where the players had to be on the sideline for the national anthem.
Okay.
In the NFL.
Okay. Misunderstood. Okay. So we're on the same page now.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. If the players want to be in the locker room, that's fine. If they want to come out on the field and salute the flag, or do what Alejandro, the guy for the Steelers. I'm sorry, I just blanked on his name. You know what I'm talking about, the offensive lineman who was in the Army who came out and stood for the flag.
Alejandro Villanueva.
I'm fine with that too. Thank you. I'm for whatever you want to do because I believe in the right to freedom of speech. However, I'm just going to have to take disagreement with you and say people are standing because they feel forced to. I hope that they're standing because they want to. And I understand I go to a lot of Tennessee football games, so that's my frame of reference on this. So, and lastly, we do in our house when the national anthem is played at any point actually stop and we don't say anything until it's over. So that's a way you don't have to stand, Cody. Just don't talk or be on your phone or anything. That's just an encouragement. Guys, I hope you have a good day, and it's a really interesting show topic.
Thanks. Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Diane Black wrote on Outkick the Coverage. She's giving up her season tickets to the NFL, making it one of her stances, I guess, as she runs for office. I mean, my snap reaction was, as a Titans fan, like, you had season tickets for how long? And you stayed through all the terrible seasons, and now when they're actually kind of good, you're giving up your seats? Seems like bad timing. It has to be pandering for her to make this public. Like, she's trying to make it a stance that she's running on. Otherwise, like, you know, why tell people? I saw a tweet where somebody said, "Is this the new vegan CrossFit thing?" Saying that you're giving up the NFL. Like, is this the new thing where people are going to tell everybody about? I don't know.
Seems to be.
If she really liked the people, she would have just given her tickets away to somebody.
That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah.
She chooses two fans every week.
That's right. Go and protest the NFL while you're there, huh? We should have went with the baseball topic. Should have just read the baseball questions. What about this video of the cheetah?
Are we ever going to have a good caller again? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, when's the last time we had a good phone call?
Do you now see what I meant, you know, in months ago, I've said for my whole entire radio career, I could do without a caller ever.
Oh, God.
And you're like, oh, I love the phone calls.
The ideal. I like some of them, but yeah.
Does seem like Roberto's always on your case.
Yeah, I don't know where he gets off on what his deal is.
Seems like he's always got beef with you. Let's bring on Bear. What up, Bear?
Rawr. I can't believe you guys had to listen to that dribble for. I mean, you let the guy carry on way too long.
Yeah,
punch me quicker than that. I didn't like to disrespect him, Mr. McClure.
I'm just gonna stop talking when he calls.
I mean, you know, the guy interrupts Russell Smith after asking him a question. I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
Well, I don't want to turn into Roberto Batch. That's not what I meant.
I didn't say his name.
Well, obviously we've only had one call. Like, obviously everyone knows I'm not turning into Roberto bashing.
I didn't disrespect Cody McClure.
And Cody handled himself. Cody could have flushed him.
I'm not going to say anything.
Cody could have flushed him. All I'm saying is I don't want to seem like we're running away from an argument when somebody pushes saying.
Cody, you have flushing privileges with your host?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Cody can flush whoever he wants.
I'm not going to flush anybody.
Well, all right.
I mean, if you want to call and state your opinion, that's fine. Sports radio, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, just kind of
seems
wrong.
Kind of seems personal. Yeah,
agree to disagree.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of seems personal with Roberto. I don't know. I think he just likes to hear his voice.
He comes after me like that occasionally.
I think he likes to hear his own voice. That's what I think. I'll just leave it at that.
Do you guys see this video of this cheetah jumping in this guy's car in Africa?
No.
Like, man.
Did he make it all the way in the damn car?
He's all the way in the car, just right in the back seat, eating the guy's seat, and the guy just like refuses to turn around or move. And there's a I guess he had a GoPro on his dash. And the cheetah.
You can see the cheetah, it's just eating the seat. Why the hell do you not get out of the car at that point?
Because I feel like if you make a move, the cheetah's going to come after you. Like, I feel like the guy kind of made the right decision, to be honest.
I don't know, man.
Well, he did. He's
the
alive.
Jumps in the back of a car, me and McClure, and it's in trouble.
He's alive.
Coming over the seat.
You think the cheetah's in trouble, Bear?
If me and you're in the front seat?
No, hell no. You're on your own. I'm getting out of there, Bear. If I'm in a car with a cheetah, I'm getting out of there.
I don't think you get out. I think you ride it out. I think you just have to hope.
Just freeze.
That's what the guy did, and the cheetah just looked around and started eating a seat and then left.
It didn't touch him? Didn't maul him?
Didn't touch him. Didn't do anything.
Amazing.
Really spooky. See you, Bear.
Have fun in Chattanooga, Bear.
Have fun in Chattanooga, Bear. How about this?
So what is this now? The cheetah, why is he eating the seat?
Well, I guess he's looking for food. He jumps into an SUV. The guy had his back seat open for some reason. Almost as if he wanted this guy to jump in so he could go viral. I don't know.
That's a good way to do it, I guess.
Probably would have gotten more views if he'd have gotten mobbed. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Got a tax refund?